This is Vatican News. The safeguard and the protection of minors from clerical sexual abuse has become an urgent priority for the Catholic Church that is increasingly under pressure to give a credible and robust response to victims, their families, their communities, and to all Catholic faithful. One body that was established to do so is the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, that was set up as an advisory body to the Pope. Headed by Cardinal Sean O'Malley, its mandate is to propose the most opportune initiatives for protecting minors and vulnerable adults, in order that the Church may do everything possible to ensure that crimes such as those which have occurred are no longer repeated. It does so by uniting its efforts to those of other institutions and to bishops' conferences across the world, and by producing tools like guidelines, good practices, and formation courses for church leadership. A press release was published on Sunday at the conclusion of the Commission's ninth plenary assembly that took place in the Vatican. Cardinal O'Malley spoke to Vatican News's Sergio Centofanti about the most urgent and significant issues commission members focused on during the assembly.
Your Eminence, the Holy Father has emphasized the primary importance of listening to the victim survivors and having their life stories guide the response of the Church in protecting minors from sexual abuse. Given the present situation and the recent events, are we really listening to survivors, and how much are we learning from them?
Well, certainly the recent events in the church have us all focused on the urgent need for a clear response on the part of the church for the sexual abuse of minors. Of course, the commission itself, one of our responsibilities is to try and listen to survivors. We always are anxious to have the testimony of survivors inform our deliberations and our judgments. And we began our meeting this time by listening to the testimonies from, first of all, a woman from Latin America who had been abused by a priest, and also the mother of two adult survivors from the United States. But the voice of the survivors is so important, and today, and during these days when we address the new bishops, as we do each year, I usually invite Mari Collins to come with us so that they can hear directly from someone who has experienced this horror in their own life, to explain to them the consequences and the repercussions for the individual, their family, the whole community. This year, Mari Collins was unavailable to come, but she was kind enough to make a wonderful video that we shared with the 200 or so new bishops. And every year when I've gone, so many bishops have come up to me and told me that Mari Collins's testimony was the most important conference that they had heard during their entire week of conferences for the new bishops. And so bringing the voice of survivors to the leadership of the church is crucial if people are going to have an understanding of how important it is for the church to respond quickly and correctly anytime a situation of abuse may arise. And we see, particularly in light of the present situation, how if the church is unable to respond wholeheartedly and make this a priority, all of our other activities of evangelization, works of mercy, education, are all going to suffer. This must be the priority that we concentrate on right now.
Your commission often speaks about its mandate to promote local responsibility to safeguarding. What does that actually mean in concrete terms, and is it realistic?
Well, the commission has been tireless in taking the message of safeguarding throughout the world. We know that there are many continents where this is a new theme, where people don't talk about it very much. And sometimes, particularly in mission lands, the church is very under-resourced. So our members, even since our last meeting, have attended over 100 conferences throughout the world, and right now are planning major conferences in Brazil in conjunction with the Bishops' Conference there, in Colombia, in Mexico, in Poland. We also are working diligently on the guidelines and best practices, and one of our latest initiatives is to develop auditing instruments that will be able to be used by bishops' conferences to measure their implementation and compliance, so that when conferences come to Rome for their ad limina visit, they'll be able to demonstrate how they have been able to implement their guidelines that every bishop's conference has been asked to develop by the Holy See, by the Holy Father himself.
What feedback are you getting from these efforts?
The bishops' conferences, where we have been involved in education and formation, has been very, 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 very supportive. And one of our initiatives right now, too, is to set up survivor advisory panels in different continents. And the first one will be in Brazil, but we've begun the process in Africa and in Asia as well, so as to be able to have groups of victim survivors who can advise their local bishops' conference, but also inform the work of our international commission.
There is a lot of confusion about the commission's role, and it has often been criticized for a perceived lack of power to implement incisive reform. But the commission mandate says it is an advisory body to the Holy Father. How does that work?
Well, sometimes people will introduce me as the president of the Sex Abuse Commission, and I always correct them and say, no, our competence is the protection of minors. It's really prevention. We are not a body that deals with past cases or particular situations of abuse. We are trying to change the future so that it will not be a repeat of the sad history. And we do that through making recommendations to the Holy Father around these areas, but certainly promoting best practices, the guidelines that take into account safeguarding and prevention, and also educational programs addressing the question of formation of church leadership, so that our bishops, priests, and religious will be aware of the seriousness of this and be equipped to be able to respond, and so that they will put the safeguarding of children and the pastoral care of victims as their priority. So this is our thrust. We are there are other dicasteries of the Holy See that have the responsibility for dealing with the cases and dealing with individual circumstances of abuse or negligence on the part of authority. And, you know, our commission cannot be held accountable for their activities. We have our competences, which I think are very, very important. We have an English saying that says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Well, our job is about prevention and trying to make the church the very safest place possible for our children and vulnerable adults.
Our relation with other offices of the Roman Curia?
Well, as I said, one of our tasks is the training of leadership, and so we have given conferences in many of the different dicasteries, religious, clergy, evangelization of peoples, where we have spoken to them, and I have taken, I always take a victim survivor with me and talk to them about the church's mission of safeguarding, and I think those have been very successful. This week, members of our commission will meet with the Italian Bishops' Conference leadership, as well as with the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
That was Cardinal Sean O'Malley, President of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors.